God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green with quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me. Shepherd's staff comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me. Follow me in the house of God forever.
Shame, lay it all down, lay it all down. When your cares have buried you and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. We have gathered here this evening to remember. It's a special time to gather in our year to remember something that we're called to remember each and every day in our walk with the Lord. That is to remember his sacrifice on the cross for our behalf. The cup of Christ is one of remembrance, and I believe that the scriptures teach us the importance of remembrance. Many of us are familiar with the account of God using Moses and his staff to miraculously part the Red Sea when the people of Israel were fleeing the Egyptians. And we remember that that was the Passover and the deliverance of Israel that God told them to remember every year. Also in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, the one who took over for Moses, there is this amazing story of how God held back the waters of the Jordan River so the people of God could finally cross into the Promised Land. After that miraculous event, God told Joshua to have the people gather stones to create a memorial, a way to remember God's goodness and his provision. We have memorials given to us all throughout Scripture. God gave Noah the rainbow and said we were to remember his salvation. God gave Moses the Passover and Joshua the stones of remembrance. And tonight we are going to conclude our service a little bit later with a new type of remembrance that Jesus gave to the church. It was what he instituted on that night before he was betrayed. It's the cup and the bread. It's what we call communion. On that night before he was crucified, he celebrated the very last Passover with his most precious disciples. So tonight we will conclude our service remembering the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf through the taking of communion together. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture to you this evening as our call into worship. And then we will stand and pray and have some time of worshiping God through song. It says in the account of Mark 15 that when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, he must be calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And then Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing right in front of Jesus saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Let's stand and pray together. Father, we thank you for your word that reminds us of how we are to remember you. God, this account of Jesus' last hours here on earth during his first advent, it is what we are remembering together this evening. And so God, during our time now of worshiping you through song, I pray, Father, that the words that we sing would remind us of these things, would remind us of the truth of what Jesus did on our behalf. That we would be reminded of all that it cost you, your only son, and all that it cost him, his very life, so that we may be offered the free gift of eternal life. God, this time is for you. We look forward to meeting with you now. We know that you are with us and in us as believers through the person of the Holy Spirit, but yet, God, We say thank you for the privilege of being able to pray and the privilege of being able to worship you. So God, may the words ring true and may the music stir our emotions and our soul. So God, we would draw even closer and even deeper to you, our Heavenly Father. So God, thank you for this privileged time. And now we offer up worship to you in that name that is above all names, the only name that is to be praised, the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's remain standing and worship him together.
Behold him. 1-6. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. And then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them, and they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. And when the hour came, he reclined at a table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this.
The curse of sin has no hold on
Jesus, we have gathered here this evening in your name, and this worship is in your name. May we continue in all that we do, opening your word, our time of prayer, even later our time of fellowship. May it all be in that name above all names, that name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, life can be full of great tension. You ever feel like you're being pulled in 10 different directions at once? Parents, you ever realize that you get up and you work, and then you go to work, and then you come home and you work? My mom used to say that to me all the time, especially when I wasn't doing my part around the house. Our lives can be described as actually being full of tension when overwhelming stress can really get to us. When we experience anxiousness, uncertainty, and just pressure, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in our relationships. Tension is that place we live in when things aren't settled, when things are not at ease. Perhaps you're even here tonight sensing some of that tension. It's when there's a knot in your stomach, and sometimes it lasts for days. We have these great emotions that God blessed us with, but in that time of tension, these emotions are opposing and vying for all of our time and our attention. Well, this night we have gathered to remember Jesus, to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, his crucifixion on the cross. And it's important to be able to sit, especially on a night like this, in the tension of Good Friday. We certainly eagerly anticipate the celebration of Sunday, don't we? I mean, I'm sure all of us have even planned out what our meal is going to be like after service on Sunday and where we're going to be, and we have chosen our songs and put together our services for Resurrection Sunday, and rightly so, we look forward to that day because it's that hope of the believer in Jesus, but it's important to take time, even just a few moments together tonight, to sit and to dwell in the tension of Good Friday, to reflect on the darkness that this day represents, because it was that darkness that brought us great light. Jesus was welcomed as a king, but then crucified as a criminal. There was great tension on Good Friday. They called for Barabbas instead of Jesus. It was the Creator being sacrificed for the creation. The tension lives in His suffering to bring us healing, His anguish to bring us hope, His rejection to bring us reconciliation. Jesus was all alone on the cross so that we could be with Him. You sense the tension of Good Friday. There was great injustice done against Him, which brought justification for us. Loss brought victory. His death brought us life. Why do we call it Good Friday? It's good because what Jesus accomplished for us was good, but what was done to Him was not. Yet He suffered willingly. May we always remember that Jesus went to the cross willingly. Paul says in Philippians 2 that He humbled Himself to death, even death on a cross. Romans 5 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The perfect Lamb of God dying for sinners. 1 Peter 3, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God," Peter says. See, the life of the Christian is now full of tensions. Didn't Jesus teach us in the Sermon on the Mount that if somebody wrongs you, you are to seek revenge? No, that's not what He said. When someone wrongs you, you turn the other cheek. When someone steals from you, you are to give them your cloak also. If someone asks you to carry their burden for a mile, He said, go the extra mile and carry it too. And Jesus told us, don't hate your enemies, but love them and pray for them. What tension there is for us, the believer. Simul justus et peccator, the Latin for at once sinner and saint, famously recounted by Martin Luther. We are called sinners and saints because we have been forgiven, yet we still sin. What tension there is. Now, Paul describes it this way. See if this resonates with you. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, and this I keep on doing. That sound familiar? Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Do you see the tension? Paul is recognizing the reality that he now, as a believer, has two natures like all of us, that we have been forgiven, that we have been justified before God. We have a new spirit, 2 Corinthians 5:17, yet we still live in these jars of clay. These earthen vessels that continue to be tempted to sin. But we praise God that because of the cross, and then of course because of Sunday, we recognize that the penalty for sin has been paid. The power of sin has been removed from our lives, that we no longer need to say yes to sin. And someday in glorified bodies, we will recognize the presence of sin will be no more. Amen? Perhaps for tonight, more relevant for us, consider these words of James. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and so let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." So James says, there should be joy in suffering. Do you find joy in suffering? Do we rejoice in trials? Perhaps you even feel like you can't celebrate anything these days. How can we smile or laugh or rejoice in blessings when I'm experiencing such deep loss and grief? How can I be grateful when I'm grieving? There's tension in life. There's grief, and there's gratitude. But we are to hold them both at the same time in tension. Francis Weller says this, "The work of the mature person is to carry grief in one hand and gratitude in the other, and to be stretched large by them." Do you feel stretched by the tension of grief and gratitude? Because we know in Christ that on one hand, we do still have grief in this life, but yet we also are to be thankful. James says, pure joy when we face trials. Can we be thankful in the midst of suffering? But as Christians, we can experience sorrow even in the midst of celebration. We can carry the weight of our emotions and the freedom of Christ. We can see beauty in ashes. We can have the peace of God even in the midst of unresolved conflict in our earthly relationships. We can forgive those who've hurt us while we still are dealing with the very real hurt. Jesus gives us the perfect example. As the quote said, we are to hold grief in one hand and gratitude in the other and let it stretch us wide. It's how we grow into maturity in our faith. Jesus' hands were nailed to the cross wide. It was our sin that held him there, but it was also his love for us that held him there. Jesus received hatred, but he returned it with love. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. What example of living in the tension.
Praise the word who would reach for me. stripes are my healing. I'll praise King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking. Your life is still reaching. I'll praise King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Your cross is my freedom. Your stripes are my healing. I'll praise King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking. Your love is still reaching. I'll praise King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Glory to God
So we live our lives as believers in between this tension. And most of the time when we come to Good Friday, we do our best to walk in the same tension through to Sunday. And in Sunday, we anticipate and wait for the day in which we are able to relieve ourselves of the suffering and the pain and the difficulty of this world. We can't wait for that day. Unfortunately, even if we let go, it hangs on. I'm going to ask you to do something this evening that you're probably not used to doing. I'm not used to doing it. I don't like to do it. But I'm going to ask you to let go of the hope of Sunday this evening, that you might be able to fully embrace and get a little bit closer to the sufferings of our Lord and Savior on our behalf. Of the evening that really was not good at all. And Jesus was heading towards the cross. There were no smiles. There were no false cries of joy and hope. And I want to read for you a couple of passages. And I'm going to ask that you would embrace suffering this evening. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The garden that was the place called Gethsemane, the Greek word for the word Gethsemane is oil press. We actually know from Luke and from the point in time that the way in which Judas knew where Jesus would be was because he frequented the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. So it wasn't as if Jesus comes to this oil press place for the first time. He had been visiting on a consistent basis. In fact, you could probably rightfully and biblically read into it that it was one of his favorite places to be. And yet this night, it truly became a place of pressing. I was able to be a middleman for one of our elders in Allenwood Church just about a year ago, and just through another connection that I had, we were looking at wedding rings, and they have a lab-grown diamond out now. I don't know if you've heard of that. They're pretty much the same price as real diamonds, but they don't retain their value that long. And it kind of got me intrigued. I'm always intrigued by diamonds because they're formed by pressure. And the way in which we grow diamonds in a lab now is by simulating pressure. The scripture in other places in the New Testament actually says with us that the more that we suffer with Christ, the more we are able to be comforted. See, it's interesting because when we are always provided a way out, or we stay as far away as we possibly can from the suffering, and we all get it, don't we? But it's almost as if we might not be getting all of the glory of Sunday if we are not able to fully embrace the complete suffering of Christ tonight. And there might be more for you on Sunday if you were to let go of Sunday tonight and let the reality of what was going on in the evening and the day before Christ surrendered and laid his life down on the cross. Jesus was not wrestling, his soul was not vexed because he was wrestling with God's will or resisting it. Jesus' soul was in a place of depth of suffering because he was yielding himself to God's will on your and my behalf. And so everything that Jesus felt, the fullness of it, is what we should have felt with no hope of Sunday. And he didn't deserve a single bit of it. He went to a place of pressing. Bringing his disciples, and as taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father." This is Jesus who didn't do anything to deserve any bit of the suffering. You need to understand this. He came for one purpose. And that was to take what should have been ours out of the way that we might be able to fully participate in, fully embrace, fully receive the hope of Sunday. But if you're going to understand how wonderful Sunday is, it's okay to lean in a little bit deeper to the darkness of today. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he falls on his face and he prays, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup," the word cup is the cup of his wrath. Jesus' suffering didn't start with the scourging. It didn't start with the mocking. It didn't start with the being spat upon. It didn't start with him having to carry the cross. It didn't start with his arms being spread out in the tension that he did not need or deserve. It started in the garden as he walked towards the will of God. And he began to experience the weight and the reality of the wrath of God. That's the cup that he is asking his Father to find some other way. And if you read in here that he's doing it with a smile on his face, being the God that he was, 100% man and 100% God, knowing full well what was coming on Sunday, but at the same time fully embracing what was in front of him in his completeness and his humanity. This is why we read Hebrews and it says we have a great high priest now who is able to sympathize with us because we have not suffered unto blood and death. He did. So you can get as far as you can with the sufferings of this world, and it still will not be able to compare with the wrath that was supposed to be on us. And we're going to partake of the communion table, and I'm going to ask you to partake of the communion table the way that Jesus calls us to do it in remembrance of me. But I want you tonight to do it in remembrance of him taking the cup of the wrath of God upon himself. That did not happen when he said, "I'm finished," or "it's finished." He was walking to this point. And the days in between of darkness. You know, it's interesting. If Friday is not allowed to become fully dark, then there's never really a closing out or the glimpse or the glimmer of the beginnings of light. We've been through some challenges over the past year in our family and in my life. But for all the past month or 2 months, things have been wonderful. And I've received so many answers of prayer, and my relationships are close, and the Lord is making moves, and he is doing wonderful things. And this whole week, I'm just like, what is wrong? Like, even in the goodness of this life, it's like, I don't believe that we're supposed to be able to get so comfortable. And I think there's a blessedness in being able to come and remember and to get closer to. I have two passages that I'm going to leave you with. And then my hope and prayer, Pastor Keith's and my hope and prayer, is that today and tomorrow, you wouldn't just do a jump scotch from tonight right into tomorrow for the weekend, but that you'd embrace both sides to get to Sunday and grab a hold of the other one and keep walking forward again. But I truly believe that if you are able, I've come in here tonight with no real like outward suffering reasons to be feeling the way that I am and be suffering, if you will, with not, I just something not right. And it's not answered yet, and I'm grateful for that, but I'm anticipating it to be answered on Sunday. And I want my whole life to, I know the scriptures, I know what's coming, and there's something that the Lord is just saying, I want you to sit in it. And I'm going to invite you in this evening, just sit in it for a moment. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. See, whatever it is that you are suffering in, the deeper that suffering is, the greater the comfort. This is really the blessedness of the tension. That the tighter this gets. And specifically, it is suffering and comfort. Suffering and comfort. That was 1 Corinthians. This is 1 Peter 4. 15, and around these are wonderful passages, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. As crazy as it sounds, there's goodness in suffering. And so I'm going to ask that you don't water down the suffering with the glory of Sunday too soon. Just embrace it. Let Christ get a hold of your heart tonight in a way that maybe we love to just run from. Maybe tonight is a night to actually be broken. Maybe tonight is a night to fully suffer in the weight of maybe some sins that you're still hanging out in. And you've thought that the way out has been to just hold on to the hope and hold on. Maybe it's to fully embrace the reality of the sin that you might be able to fully receive the freedom that Christ has set us free to live in. I don't know what that is for you. Also be reminded that if you're not in the place of needing this, that Jesus brought his disciples along with him to suffer by his side in prayer and to be a part of the process, and we too are called that while one another suffers, we ought to suffer as well. Because when one of us receives the goodness, we also should be able to rejoice in the goodness. But we love to jump over the difficult stuff. It's there, but it's there kind of as a stepping stone, and I'm just gonna ask you, let it be there tonight. Let it be there tonight.
Those friends that Jesus invited fell asleep. They missed that opportunity, as we've been heard, that opportunity to embrace the tension, to embrace the suffering and what good Jesus had planned for them. We're reminded that the beginning of Passion Week, Jesus, he approached Jerusalem and he stopped and he wept because spiritually they were asleep. He said, if only they knew the peace that he was coming to bring, as we were just encouraged and challenged to do. In this time of reflection, this time around the communion table, let us consider the agony of Friday. Jesus chose to surrender his own desires to the Father's will. Yes, that garden was a familiar place for Jesus, but this night it was different. He prayed with that great emotional and spiritual pain. But even in the midst of our own difficulties, our own trials, our own anxieties and depressions and fears and doubts, we recognize the goodness of Good Friday. When Jesus died for us, are we willing to live for him? As you hear the music play, take time with your God. Just reflect on what you've been reminded of tonight from his word. Perhaps God, through his Spirit, is challenging you. Just take time to reflect. And when you're ready, and there's absolutely no rush, when you're ready, we just invite you to get up and you can come to the front or to the back there on the side and take the elements. Take a piece of the bread and take a cup and return to your seat. If there's somebody around you that can't get up, let them know that you'll get it for them. And when we've all gotten back to our seats and had time of reflection, I'll lead us in closing our evening together by the taking of the bread and the cup in remembrance of him. So take some time now between you and Jesus. Thank you. the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said these words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us take and eat together in remembrance of him. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink together, remembering Jesus. The cross was an instrument of execution, a place of great suffering. Yet for us, we are reminded tonight that we can call it good, we can call it wonderful, we can call it blessed because of the results of what Christ did for us. Let's stand together and close our time by singing to him.
Oh, thorns grace draw near and bless your name. And oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly. Grace, draw near and bless your name.
If you are here this evening and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, do not wait until Sunday. You have suffered long enough. Christ bids you to come. He cries out, he who confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord will be saved. So I implore you, be saved tonight. Church, lean in a little bit longer. If you don't get to Sunday, you get to the fullness of Sunday before us. Embrace tomorrow. In a different way, I'd encourage you. You know, in the Old Testament, during times of fasting, they actually would put on sackcloth and ashes. They would take goat skin and like a goat's skin, and they turn it inside out so it would be all itchy, make them uncomfortable. And I want you to take that with you tonight. That's the intent of Good Friday for us, is to remember the itchiness. To remember the despair, the lostness, that when Sunday comes and that grave is empty, that you are reminded of the glorious riches of Christ that we have already been full partakers of. And so embrace it. If tonight is a night where some, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, is calling you to himself, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. You will be saved. You've suffered long enough. Receive him. Church, on behalf of Trinity and Allenwood, thank you for joining us this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, in particular this weekend. May the fullness of his glory shine forth in a new, fresh, powerful way, maybe this year. I think we should be celebrating Sunday the way that we celebrate January 1 in our country, right? Heavenly Father, we look to you this evening, God. We are grateful. Humble us. Remind us. Let us dwell a little bit longer, but don't keep us there too long. As we embrace the suffering, Lord, cling us back to the glory and the hope. Bless our celebrations this weekend. Oh, soul, despair no longer. Anticipate, await, receive. Have a wonderful evening. Lord willing, you have a church family to celebrate Resurrection Sunday with. If tonight is a night that you might have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come and see Pastor Keith or myself or someone next to you. We would be more than happy to pray with you and invite you into a place of discipleship. There is no other life like the life that we have received because of the life that was laid down but did not stay down. He picked it up. It is picked up. God bless you.
faithful.